From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. A toxin in fish found in Gulf waters causes some of the strangest symptoms. People affected by it report numbing of their lips and tongues and fingertips and other bizarre symptoms. In rare cases, it can even be fatal. It's called ciguatoxin, and it's carried by reef fish that could be making their way to your dinner plate. We'll talk with a scientist who's tracking the toxin to find out where it comes from and how to avoid it. Plus, the Autism Society says the number of children diagnosed with autism continues to grow, and our public schools are trying to meet those needs through exceptional student education. Cypress Lakes High School just opened a soothing room to help autistic students deal with sensory overload, but autism advocates say more schools need such rooms to support ESE students. We'll talk with autism advocates and ESE educators to look at what services exist and where the money comes from to make it all happen. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Since 1975, the rights of children with disabilities to get an equal education have been guaranteed by the Individuals with Disabilities Act. It's the acronym of IDEA. But has that idea gotten lost as more and more children are diagnosed with Autism Spectrum Disorder, or ASD? According to the Autism Speaks organization, a new survey-based study says one in every 45 kids is diagnosed with autism these days. Estimates from the Centers for Disease Control say one in 68 children are diagnosed with the condition. Either way, it's a far different picture than legislators were looking at back in 1975 or even the latest revision of the IDEA Act in 2004. The federal mandate says children with disabilities are to be guaranteed an appropriate education at their local public schools. The federal government pledged grant money in the amount of 40% of the cost of educating each student enrolled who has been evaluated as having a disability. In 2009, an additional $12.2 billion was earmarked for the program as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. These sound like big numbers, but with the number of kids in need of special assistance, how far do those dollars stretch, and is it meeting the need of students? We're joined on the phone by Director of Exceptional Student Education for Lee County Schools, Chuck Bradley. Also with us in the studio is Veronica Banks, who is a mother of a son with ASD and autism advocate with Blue Crayons in Fort Myers. Thanks for joining us today. We're also joined by Stephanie Cervoni, who is also a mother of a child who has been diagnosed with autism. We are talking about autism and ESE education in public schools and the needs of kids with varying degrees of autism spectrum disorders. Feel free to call in with your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Comment online on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. What got us thinking about this is the announcement of a new room now open at Cypress Lakes High School called a soothing room. Chuck Bradley, can you tell me a little bit about this room? Are you there, Mr. Bradley? Okay, well, it seems like we don't have that connection made just yet. But let me ask you, Veronica, as a mother and an autism advocate with Blue Crayons, you've helped bring some of these rooms to the schools in our area. How important is a room like this for kids that are in the middle of a school setting and they become overstimulated?
Well, these rooms, they're a therapeutic environment. So just picture yourself going after a long day and being able to relax. Me and you have that. They have meltdowns throughout the day. So for them to continue on their day in school, it's imperative for them to have these rooms because some of them do have a harder time like my son did. So having the equipment needed, the lighting, just any little thing that can help them calm down helps them get back to school. So it's amazing that Cypress Lake did this. The rooms are incredible. I'm very proud of Lori. Thank you, Lori. So we need them in all schools.
Help me understand. This is something that I don't know and I don't understand. So if you can give us a glimpse of what a child is going through mm-hmm. when they find themselves in need of a place like this to get away and break away.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you see somebody that's having a seizure, it's clear as day. You know something's not right. Something's going on. Now, when you see our kids, they look like me and you. Except this is something neurological, so they get very bad anxiety triggers. They can't express, so a lot of them can get physically aggressive, violent, withdrawn. So having this space is important. So what they would do is they'd provide with their IEP some type of behavioral plan or just have this room available for them to go and kind of unwind, relax, and use the tools needed to, just bring themselves back so they can go back to their day.
Mm-hmm. to get themselves back centered and just kind of have a place to get away instead of having a public meltdown right in front. And plus, school's tough. School's tough for kids.
School's tough for me.
I know.
I go and cry every day when I visit them.
It's difficult. So it's hard for them to just, you know, to be getting through, but then to be able to get away. And you don't want to do that right in front of everybody.
No. It saves them. It puts them in a place where they know that they're safe. They know that they can go there and unwind. It's their peers that are there, so they're welcome. The rooms that I created, I had one of the students who had severe behavioral issues who didn't even go out in public. Once that room was made, he told me, "This is my home." And every event that I have, he comes to. He had no behavioral issues in that space. And he's doing amazing just because he knew there was a room created by his peers, created by the teachers, just for them. So that alone shows compassion, empathy, and love for them. And that space is that important to them. My children all talked about the plaques, not even the equipment in the room, just the plaques that said, "We made this for you because we love you."
That is nice. And that's a bit of an inclusion and part of the culture that makes it important. Now, I wanted to ask Stephanie, tell me a little bit about your story.
My son had a few different diagnoses. And finally, it became abundantly clear that he had autism. He had a great education at Spring Creek Elementary. They are an amazing school. I can't say enough great things about them. Their staff is caring, compassionate. Even the ones that didn't have ESE training knew what to do. Wonderful, wonderful school. He became more of a general education in that school. He's now in Bonita Springs Middle, which does not have a safe room or a sensory room, somewhere for him to go. We did change his IEP and put in a plan where he has a red dot in his planner if he starts getting upset, because he's a self-soother, so he can calm himself down as long as it's in a quiet space with no one else around.
What is an IEP?
It's an individual educational plan. So if I had an IEP, it'd say Veronica needs a PT, OT, and when she gets upset, she needs to go to this room to kind of unwind. It's basically a contract that stays between the parent, the child, and the teacher, you know, what to do, what to help them throughout their school year.
Like something specifically dedicated to
a
person that, you know.
And that's how they get their services, and that's how the school receives funding. Additional funding is for their IEP. Once you have your IEP, they have to provide those services to you.
Okay, so the school has the IEP for the number of students that they have, and then the school is...
If they're in the ESC program, they would have an IEP. Even when they go into general education like our children, they still continue their IEP because they have some form of delay. I don't like to say disability, but they have some form of delay and just need extra help.
Okay. I think we might have Chuck Bradley on the phone from the Lee County Schools. Chuck, are you here?
I am, Julie.
Oh, I'm so glad we got you to join us, because we have some questions we'd want to ask. We're talking about autism and the needs of students in school, and the IEPs and the different types of funding that comes through. And we talked about it earlier, about 40% of the funding is supposed to come from the federal government as a part of the IDEA Act. Is that money getting here?
The IDEA funding, yes, it does come to the district. It is a flow-through grant, comes through the state. So the state monitors that grant. The state is actually the initial grant holder. And then it is given to the districts based on our FTE and based on the needs of students here within Lee County.
Okay, so that money comes into the school district, and then it's divvied up school by school. Is it based on each individual school's needs?
Correct.
Okay, and then how is it determined how that money is used in those individual schools?
Well, it has to be used to meet the needs of the IEP. So the services that are provided, the district provides guidance in helping to establish service delivery for those students with IEPs. And so we do work with the schools in establishing funding formulas or service delivery model formulas.
Okay. Well, one of the first questions we asked, and I don't know if you heard it, but we were talking about the soothing room at Cypress Lakes High School.
Yes.
That's new. That just came online fairly recently.
Yes. It's not a new idea, but this particular room is certainly new. to Cypress Lake High School. They've been putting this together and working with a family that has provided quite a bit of funding. It's been a good benefactor for providing that room because, again, this is something to assist for students, but it is not directly related to their education, and therefore, because it's not directly related to their education, and we have to be careful with how funding is used.
Okay, so something like that, like the soothing room, would not be something that would use the funding that comes from the federal government towards education?
Correct, because there's nothing in an IEP that states the need for such a room, but we know the benefit, it has therapeutic benefit, and certainly meets certain student needs. So some of the services that are provided through the use of that room or some of the resources within that room can be part of an IEP, but the room itself is not considered part of the IEP.
But is that something that can be funded with local school district dollars that maybe didn't come through the federal program?
It can be, or it can be funded through gifts, as this room has been provided for, through partnerships, through foundations, through PTOs. So most schools look for a variety of funding sources to help provide for that resource.
Okay. So what exactly then are the parameters that you can spend that federal funding on for these disabled students? Is it just for personnel, faculty to take care of the kids and materials in the classroom, or is it anything more than that?
Well, typically the dollars that are given are primarily for personnel and for making sure that we have certified personnel in those classrooms that can work with those students. It can also be used for supplemental materials, supplemental curriculum. And it's one of the things, if you think of it in terms of ESE resources are there to level the playing field, because these students receive basic allocations just like any other student. They're considered a student first, so we start with a general ed allocation, and then the ESE allocation is above that to help level the playing field for that student.
Mm-hmm. Okay, would you have do you have a goal in mind of providing these types of soothing rooms in all of your schools, or is that something that you're working towards?
Well, it's certainly something that we're thinking about, and I have here one of our learning resource specialists, Pat Smiley. He can probably speak a little bit more about that. So, Pat, I'm going to pass the phone to you. They've asked about these resource rooms and where are we going with these and schools and our other schools needing these.
Hi, this is Pat Smiley.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. So you work with these the soothing rooms, and we're talking about the goal of possibly including more of these in different schools throughout Lee County.
It would be a wonderful thing to provide more of them. We have to remember, though, that we are educating the child, so that is our main concern. And providing sensory breaks to children are things that we already do in all of our social communications classrooms and those who are also in the general population being serviced under IDEA. So we do provide a lot of sensory materials for our kids. These particular rooms are not always available. We don't always have the space to take over an entire room. This was a beautiful gift from a family, as well as a lot of hard work from the LRS, the teacher, the students at the school provided all of the painting and artwork. The services were donated for the design of the room. So it was a lovely, lovely gift. They're also doing one over in the West Zone. Again, it's all the hard work of one of the LRSs and other people who are willing to volunteer and commit time to it. So it's not something that's provided through the district. It's something to kind of enhance the student's experience and help with behaviors and just sensory experiences.
Earlier in your comments, you were saying that you do provide sensory breaks for your students, and we had some shaking heads in the studio here. Veronica Banks, what was your feeling on? You said you were shaking your head.
Well, one of the things that Chuck touched touched on was leveling the playing field. Now, when I go to gym, you provide a uniform, parents pay for that, but you provide the balls, the all that stuff that you need to play gym. Now, our kids were, you know, like how Pat was just speaking about, you know, it's not something that's needed. Well, for my child to read, he needs to have a weighted mat on his lap to soothe him so he's able to focus on that.
That comes through the occupational therapist. They provide those.
We have schools that do not have any type of equipment. So that's what we're shaking our heads about. I've gone to schools that don't have sensory equipment, and don't have sensory rooms or anything for the children. I've even gone to a school where they don't have any space for a child having behavioral issues, and the child is put into what you would consider a locker room, you know, to calm down, or like Stephanie's child in a nursing station where there's no privacy. But if there's equipment and things like that provided for other classes, instruments, whatever, I just don't understand why our kids aren't seen as a priority, because it's not leveling the playing field if I don't have the equipment I need to do this class. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm not really understanding it, because the occupational therapist is the one who provides the sensory materials to the student. So if a student has occupational therapy services on their IEP, if they qualify for those services, then those items are available to the OT to provide to the student. The student does not always want those items, but when it helps the student to focus or such, they certainly are available to all of our schools.
Well, I'll speak on my situation with my son, for example. One of the schools he was in didn't have any kind of leg bands or anything to help him when he was in OT. It was an issue. So I ended up providing the equipment, which is the reason why we started my organization, which is providing sensory equipment and aiding in the design of sensory rooms. So not all schools have the services that you're claiming.
Well, I would have to disagree with you, because I do feel that our occupational therapists are the ones who provide the sensory equipment. And all of our students who are needing a sensory break are given a sensory break. There may be trampolines that they can use. There may be, we had like pea pods, and, you know, where they kind of tuck into a little like inflatable boat. We have therapy balls. We have a lot of different. We have wiggle seats. We have numerous things that are available to the children.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I don't really understand. You know where? Well, I don't know where your child.
You could privately email me and contact me, and we can maybe meet sometime, because there's a school right now that uses a science lab as their cool down room, which is a fire hazard in itself. If these kids are having meltdowns, there's Bunsen burners, there's all this stuff in that room. And then when the child gets violent, he gets put in a closet. I was told that the parents agree, he likes to go there, he's fine, he's this. I've gone to many schools where I've even offered, I'll come in and bring this, I'll come in and bring you that. And I was turned down by principals who said, no, we don't need your help. We don't need anything in that room. We only have, two or three students with behavioral issues. They're fine the way that they are. And we have Stephanie here who goes through the same thing with her son. So I get what you're saying, but there is a small percentage that doesn't help our kids.
We are talking about autism today and about how the public school system is trying to meet the needs of kids with varying degrees of autism spectrum disorders. Feel free to call in with your thoughts or comments at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Comment online on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. One thing that I'd like to get out is, there are a lot of individual parents who have individual stories that are at different individual schools that will have different experiences in each of these different schools with different members of faculty and different principals. When a parent, and I would like to ask on the phone, I'm sorry I didn't get you, I didn't know the phone was going to get handed off, but the Lee County School District, when a parent is feeling that they have an issue and they feel like they have taken the issue with their student who has the special needs to the school, the faculty, the principal, and they don't feel they're getting anywhere, what do they do then?
They come to the district, and let me just put you back with Mr. Bradley, and he can explain that process.
Thank you, thank you.
Hi, Julie.
Mr. Bradley, I mean, I think every single parent will be concerned about their own individual child. And so you're going to be dealing with a lot of individual parents who have different stories from different places, and they may become frustrated with the school that their child is in. What do they do when they feel like they have exhausted all of their options in dealing with the people at the school level? Where do they go then?
So we have a district staff here who support our schools and work with families and parents as well. We have a liaison here at the district specifically to work with parents. It is our parent liaison. They're more than happy to contact that person. Typically, though, we ask them to contact one of our coordinators who work with the schools directly. And we have coordinators at the elementary, middle, and high school level. So those people often will field the parent complaint issue. We investigate. We try to see if there's a way that we can reach mediation, remediate the issue, whatever it might be. And then in our district, Lee is a choice district. So there's always the right of the parent to seek reassignment if they choose to do so.
But they're finding that they're not getting response from the school that they happen to be in. We do have a... We don't have a caller on the phone. I thought we did. I'm hearing for. Oh wait, we do have the phone call. Here we go. Let's take it. Sharon in North Fort Myers. She's a special education administrator who has a doctorate in special ed. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm retired, so I want to make that clear. I'm not a current special ed administrator. But I have worked at the university training teachers. I was also at the State Department in Missouri and also worked here in Florida as an ESC administrator. And I think that one of the things that gets confusing is the conflict and misunderstanding between parents and the school about what the school's obligation is mm-hmm. with regard to providing services for kids with disabilities. And the confusion is really simple. As long as something is in the IEP as a necessary component for the child to progress educationally, the district is required by law to provide it. Where the confusion comes in is a difference of opinion sometimes on parents feeling like certain services would maximize a child's progress, and the district feeling like they don't really have to maximize the child's progress, they just have to show that the child's progressing. But my particular area of expertise is behavioral disorders. And those kinds of soothing rooms that she's talking about, or those kind of environments, are indeed a behavioral strategy that should be on the IEP and required. The issue is, how do you get it on the IEP? So that's my contribution. I think this should not be something, if it's behaviorally necessary for a child to progress throughout the school day and be able to attend to their lessons, etc., it's the obligation of the school district to provide it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to take that then to Chuck and ask you on the phone. It's not a required part of the individualized educational program for the different students, these kinds of soothing rooms and these other behavioral things. In an ideal world where you had unlimited funding, what would you like to see?
Oh, if we had, in an ideal world, if we had unlimited funding, oh, well, my goodness, of course we would love to see these types of rooms provided. As a matter of fact, maybe multiple different types of these types of rooms provided. Some students need to have certain kinds of stimulation in these rooms. They prefer a great deal of sensory material. Others prefer rooms that are soothing and cool or calm. So it really, if in an ideal world, we'd love to have that. We'd also love to see sensory materials provided right in the classroom where sensory breaks can be taken so that the student doesn't miss a lot of instruction being transported, you know, transporting to and from those rooms. So there's a lot of strategies that could be applied to meet, and I appreciate the last caller's comments. that we need to remember that the purpose is to ensure that the student is getting a free and appropriate public education, and that's what we're here to provide.
Okay, well, I really want to thank you, and I'm sorry about the technical issues earlier that kind of set us back a little bit. Of course, we've run out of time. There's so many more comments to be made. I feel like we've just barely scratched the surface here today, but I do want to tell you that I appreciate you coming in, and maybe we could get after this subject in greater detail in the future. I appreciate everyone being in for this conversation with us. Stephanie, thank you for coming in. Veronica, I appreciate all that you're doing with helping to create these soothing rooms, and thank you, Chuck. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for joining us. Gulf Coast Live is produced by Matthew Smith with additional help from A.J. Leonard and John Davis. Our show is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. Tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live, it's Pearl Harbor Day. We catch up with two Southwest Floridians who were there at the Hawaiian Naval Base during the attack. Hear their memories of that infamous day and how it impacted the rest of their lives. Plus, a local historian shares some surprising connections Southwest Florida has to the war effort of World War II. Thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1 WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM NPR for Southwest Florida.